Hey, my name is Michael Trapea. I serve here as the campus pastor, and we're just excited that you are worshiping with us. It's our heart here as a church community that we say it every week. We are called to be and make disciples for the glory of God, and that's just not a tagline we want to say, but it's a true mission we want to embody as a people. And so you will find, if you're new here, that we are an imperfect people serving a perfect God. And it is our heart to be honest and authentic in that, but also to continue to go deeper into the gospel as we, as a community of faith. So we're glad that you are here. And if you are new, we'd love to meet you. We'd love to connect you in your next phase of worship deeper here. And if you are new, feel free to, after service, go out to guest services just so we know a name. We can make a connection point for you as we grow as a body of faith together. And so just, you might have received one of these Easter postcards things coming in, and Good Friday. So Good Friday is happening, and Easter is happening, and that and Stations of the Cross is something that we as a church do as well. So that Stations of the Cross is March 29th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. over at our Old Jacksonville campus, and Good Friday service will be here at 6 p.m. as well as 9:30 and 11 o'clock on Easter. So we would love for you to be a part of that with us, but we gave you these coming in not to put on your fridges or put somewhere as a bookmark, but for you to give away. To give away to someone you want to invite with you, a neighbor you want to bring with, just as an extension of, hey, we'd love for you to be a part of hearing the hope of the gospel and the mission of Jesus and the resurrection to life that we have because of what Jesus has done. So feel free and please give these away. Make this an extension, a conversation point for you to invite someone to be with us. I want to also bring you up to speed also a little bit. First service, you don't get to see this second service, but first service, we had dedicated six families. They have six kiddos that we dedicate families as a church community, and it was beautiful to have six, a lot of people on stage, but to charge them to be this primary disciple makers of their kids. But it also is to charge us as a church that we are responsible for being a secondary assist in the lives of these young ones. Because a majority of us in the room, or one way, shape, or form, have been impacted by someone along our trajectory of faith, maybe at a young age, maybe growing up in your adolescent years and your teenage years. And so we have a responsibility as a church to care for our own. And so thank you for those who do serve within Grace Kids and GSM Ministries. Thank you for those who are interested in being a part of that. And my heart is that we are a church about the next generation to raise them up to know and be disciple makers themselves for the glory of God here. And so my call for us is to embrace that identity as a church, that we are all serving the next generation in one way, shape, or form. And so that will kind of be a call at the end of service today, and I'll discuss more. But I just want to bring you up to speed. What a beautiful opportunity we had first service today with that. But we're in week four of our 180 series, From Repentance to Worship. And we've been looking over these past three prior weeks of, hey, repenting from our here and now kingdoms and what we make of the here and now as individuals. 2 weeks ago, we talked about repenting from our conformity to the world and a repenting towards God's good original design for us as humanity. Last week, we talked about repenting from our the perverted worship and what we make the idea of church to be and how God calls us back to pure worship in himself. And so we've been moving along the spectrum of repentance as we move to the cross, but ultimately to Easter and the resurrection of life, and looking at episodes of Jesus' life, interactions he has had. And so we're going to be looking at a familiar section of Scripture today. And here is the theme. It's repentance towards God's light in Christ from the love of darkness as a people. And I'm sure many of you, just like were me, and grew up and played the game hide and seek. And inevitably, I would go and find the darkest corner of my dad's and mom's closet and hide there just about every single time, so it was pretty predictable. But I would make sure to turn all the lights off, be in the corner, underneath the clothes, and it would be dark the whole time. And oftentimes, my sister or my brother would not find me, and I would get anxious inside after a little while because I didn't like to be in the dark that long. And so I would automatically leave and just be found. And so it kind of defeated the purpose of the whole game. And then also growing up, if you have kids or you may be in this state currently, people have an aversion, a fear of the dark. And with my child, there's also parenting things through that to not be afraid of the dark. I'll close the closet. I'll make sure everything's good. And your 95 stuffed animals are around you to be your SWAT protection in the dark. But there's a natural fear of the dark in some way that's built in to our DNA. And in the name of self-care in our culture today, actually there's these things called darkness retreats. That they exist now for 2 or 3 days. You go into darkness, you go into isolation, and there's a quick hit of mental health benefit for a period of time from all the phone pollution, the light pollution, and there's a quick hit of benefit in darkness for a short period of time. But I wanted to see this week in discovering, hey, what does prolonged darkness look like on the outcomes of our mental health, our physical health? So there was a demonstration done in 2015 by two cave divers, one by the name of Josie Loris and the other Antoine Seni, and they set out to see what happens over a prolonged period of time where they went into separate isolations in caves for an extended period of time. One made it 88 days, the other made it 126 days in darkness and isolation. And so researchers were there, were provided them meals throughout the day, but they made sure that vitals were there. But that was the only interaction that was during that period of time. And what were some of the outcomes of the prolonged darkness and isolation? One is their internal clocks, which run our day, were drastically affected. Time, they thought, moved slower when in reality it was longer. So for instance, one of the cave divers that was in isolation thought it was February 5th when he emerged from the cave, when in truth, it was April 5th. 2 months of difference. They thought they had slept for 8 hours at a time, when in truth, they had slept 20 to 30 hours at times. So time was distorted during this process. And due to a lack of light and sensory deprivation, their mental health initially benefited from being down there the first couple days, but after that period, past that time, anxiousness, hallucinations started, and fear started to increase as they reported. Some of them even made friends with the mice or the rats they found in the darkness. They started naming them, like Tom Hanks in Castaway and with Wilson the volleyball. Remember that? So their reality became distorted. And what happened when they emerged? After they emerged, after this period of time, they had to wear goggles because their eyes couldn't take the intensity of the light that was just natural. And so week by week, over a period of weeks, they had to take a layer off at a time. Otherwise, they would become blind. The intensity of the light affected them. You see, the darkness, the absence of light, causes us as humans to lose all sense of reality, time, and understanding of the world around us. And this theme of darkness and light is also the narrative written within our spiritual lives. And so today we'll take some time to read through a text we are all familiar with that gets to the root of our human condition, that we need to have a lifestyle of repentance, moving towards the light of God from being lovers of the dark. Because when we understand at a heart level the story, which is the gospel, it will inform us of the promises of God he has called us back to into his marvelous light. So if you want to open up your Bibles, if you've brought them, to John 3:16-21. And while you do that, I kind of want to set the stage for us in this conversation. In this conversation, it's a second part of a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. If you know Nicodemus, he is the Pharisee of Pharisees of sorts. He is the ruler of the Jews, member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. There's a political posture as it relates to his leadership that is seen throughout that time and space. And he had come at night to see Jesus. He didn't want people to see him, but he was curious about who this Jesus teacher was and what he was doing. And so he was bold enough to even come at night where he could have lost all sense of influence and character with the people he was with, but he pursued Jesus. And here's what the verses 1 through 15 are communicating at large, is this idea of being born again. What is salvation? What is being born of the Spirit? And that is what Jesus is communicating. Hey, you must be born again to be in my kingdom. The Spirit of God must be at work in you in order for you to be saved. And at the end of verses 14 and 15, he presents this idea of an account that happened in Numbers 21, where ultimately a serpent was raised up to that people would have to turn to in order to be saved, just like the Son of Man will be raised up ultimately and sacrificed for this being born again. So the what of salvation was introduced in the preceding part of this conversation. But today, we're to look at why salvation is needed and how much God loved us to make it happen. So we'll discuss that. And so also, not only Nicodemus is the character and Jesus are the characters on display, but light and darkness are the themes throughout John's writings. Light representing Jesus, God's life on display here and now in its holiness. And darkness, the absence of light. Darkness in John's writing in particular was the refusal of God's light in our lives. Evil, wickedness, that's what darkness represented. And I cannot hit on it enough. This section of scripture, even though it's the one that's the most repeated by all athletes whenever they get interviewed, John 3:16, but it's I cannot repeat this enough. This section of scripture lays out the gospel for us today, and we do not graduate from the gospel. We need it deeper and deeper in our hearts by the Spirit of God every week, because that is how we move throughout our lives and growing in faith. So let's read John 3:16 through 21 today. Jesus says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." So this is one we've read multiple times, but I want to put verse 16 up there, John 3:16 for me. The first six words I want to highlight a little bit, because we often read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." But God's love did not generate at just the sending of his Son. It generated in the creation story. And I want to talk about how life with God was the original design because he so loved the world. You see, Nicodemus would have known the story better than anyone. He would have had to memorize the Torah in which this creation account was, because God's love for us, God's love for the world, is so imbued within Genesis 1 and 2. And what happens in Genesis 1 and 2, if you're familiar with it, right? It's the creation narrative. God, out of the darkness, he spoke life into being, and there was light and darkness, and then there was the heavens and the earth, and the land was made, and the seas, and the birds, and the plants, and then at the penultimate of his creation was man and male and female. He created us in his image, spoke out of the dust of the earth, spoke and breathed life into us and as humanity to see and behold his glory and his creation. That's why he created us. And he caused us to walk with him in perfect relationship. There was no death on display. There was no disease. We were given purpose and meaning and life, and we were walking with the light of life alongside him. That was our default. That we were made in his image and walking with the light. But what happened? Any of us have been in church any length of time know that Genesis 3 comes on the scene and the fall happens. So life with God was the original design, but perishing eternally became our inherited default. Why? Because the serpent at the beginning introduced deception and doubt, and man preferred it over God. He preferred to be God instead of walking with the light that is God. And what happened from the fallout of Adam and Eve choosing their own self-worship over God designed light of worship? We ran from the light, did we not? We hid from the light. We started blaming one another. We started covering up our shame. And we still do that to this day. And separation ultimately happened. And death now was a part of our narrative. And we did not walk with a perfect and holy God anymore. He sent us out of the garden. And we live in the fruit of that decision. That's our natural state. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We exchange the truth about God for a lie. The default of life, a light of life, for the default of darkness. You see, darkness in terms of sin is the absence of light. Darkness is the worship of the created over the creator. And this sin, this darkness, led to the fracturing of our souls, fracturing of our relationships, fracturing of our bodies, and of our communities in the world. And it ultimately led to perishing. And just as the opening illustration submits, darkness distorted our understanding of true life and true design as God had originally purposed. Darkness became alluring to us and still is alluring to us to this day, even as Christians. But how does this relate to this exchange between Nicodemus and Jesus today? Well, that's verses 19 and 20, where it says, "And this is the judgment, the light that Jesus has come into the world, and people loved," or other versions say, "preferred the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." And so how do I know this darkness is on display? Just look at our world today. Just this past week, France codified in their constitution a right to take the life of the unborn, codified it in their constitution, codified murder within their constitution as a right. We live in a culture that you can't look without seeing sexual depravity or distortion, and we go deeper and deeper into it. I can't look in my heart without also seeing the darkness of pride and the things that so easily ensnare my heart of self-sufficiency and doing it on my own as if I've been created for that when I haven't. The examples of darkness are all around us. As I've mentioned before I knew Christ at all, I struggled deeply with sexual sin. I craved it, I loved it, and I thought it tasted good, but it always left me empty at the end, outside of God's design. Some of us, it might be selfishness, some of us are performers and find our validation in performing, but ultimately and continues to need to be satisfied because it is darkness, there's no light in it. And it's what drove my affections. In Christ today, I wouldn't lie to tell you I and we are still at war to go back to those desires, to believe that one more sip is just going to be okay. One more hit of the darkness and the absence of light will satisfy, but it never does. And we are at war even in Christ today. The allure of darkness still exists, and it's conforming us into something we weren't created for that is wicked and sinful. Speaking on this idea, Jackie Hill Perry in her book Holiness states this: "The serpent still incentivizes unbelief by promising that it will make us like God. But our motive has never been to be like God in terms of righteousness, but of rights." We lust after ultimate authority, plant our flag in shallow soil, and claim ourselves and others as our property. It's not until the light is put before us that in its mirror we see that we haven't become like God at all. We have only imaged Satan. We think we become like God when we give in to our desires for ourselves, but we only image Satan, the darkness, the wicked, the evil, when we take or hold to those things. What Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is that perishing is our default when we just hold to these things, because our love of darkness is preferred over the love of the light of the world, Jesus, that has come here. So if you are a non-believer in this room today who hasn't submitted to Jesus as Lord, you are perishing. And I don't mean to be harsh with that. I just want to be honest and humble in saying that you are perishing apart from Christ eternally. That is the destination. Why? Because we preferred the darkness over God's design. And we daily cover our brokenness deeper and deeper and deeper, only digging ourselves a deeper pit of separation from a good and holy God. And if we are a believer in here, we must recognize that the allure of darkness still exists around us and in us. And we must go to war and deeper into the heart of God and the gospel. Any of this sound familiar in your own lives, in your own walks with the Lord? But the beauty of the gospel is that sin that causes our death pales in comparison to the rescue plan of love God extended in Christ. Pales in comparison to the rescue plan of love God extended in Jesus. And that is my third observation, that Jesus Christ is the rescue. Jesus Christ is the rescue. There's a solution for the current default of perishing eternal, and that's Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh. John 1, verses 1, 9, and 14, I wanted to pull out for us today, says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. See, the only thing that could satisfy a perfect, holy, and just God is a perfect, ultimate sacrifice. And that was not something that was created. It was God himself giving his Son, begotten, not made, on our behalf to take on sin, to take on our darkness. And this light would become man. He would take on flesh, like it says, all of our darkness. He was accused. He was hung to die on a cross. All because God loved us, he was given. That which was most precious to God, he was given as the ultimate sacrifice for us. And listen to this. So then it was not Christ's death that turned God from hating and being angry, but it was God's love that appointed Christ's death. It was God's love that appointed Christ's death. Well, how do I know this? Because it's the most often repeated verse that we hear, John 3, 16 through 17. I want to read it again. For God so loved, he so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Someone needs to hear this today. I need to hear this today. I need to be reminded of this today, is that God loves you. Despite the brokenness you may feel inside, God loves you. Despite the things you may have done, God still loves you. Despite what you think he caused in the pain and brokenness in the world, he says, I love you and I've extended myself to you in full in giving of my Son. God didn't ever stop loving you. From eternity past to eternity future, God is love, and his love is fierce and sacrificial. And that's why he went to give his only Son himself as the perfect sacrifice, to bring you back from the darkness into his marvelous light. And what we can't forget is the rescue plan. Jesus did not come to condemn you today. We did that by our sin. We brought condemnation on ourselves due to sin. Not condemnation, but to save you. Just like Kyle mentioned in his prayer, he brought hope to the hopeless, wholeness to the brokenness, love to those that were unlovable because he loved us, to give you back to himself, to give you back light in the dark recesses of your heart that you think you've blocked off to God, but he knows it already. And to remind you that he is still more powerful than the darkness in you. And the beauty is it's the return of the life God originally designed. We were walking with him because of Christ. We're walking in purity because of what Jesus has done. We are relationally reconnected to a holy God because of what Jesus has done. He's given us purpose and meaning as we go deeper into knowing him and his love because of what Jesus has done, because he loves us. So Christian, maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time, but you've forgotten just how much God loves you in sending his son. He loves you. Maybe you've been in Christ a while and walking in a secret pattern of sin that you can't seem to shake or get out of. And not believing that he can truly restore and purify you. He is able and he loves you, and not here to condemn you, but to save you from the darkness that is in you. And you may be walking through a season where you've walked away from God. And really your faith, he is calling you back and he came towards you to save you today. But maybe you were like Nicodemus in this interaction at this moment here, and you're an unbeliever. I just want you to know that God loves you and sent Jesus to this earth to ultimately die on the cross to bring you back from your love of darkness. And you need to know that you cannot out-sin God's grace. You cannot out-sin God's grace and mercy shown in the work of what Jesus did on the cross and his overcoming death of sin and the grave. You cannot out-sin his love. So what is our response today, church? What is our response today? It's the same response it's been the past 3 weeks and probably to the end of the series: repent and believe. Repent and believe. I want to read John 3:18 and verse 21. Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, said, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Verse 21, "But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Repent and believe the gospel of light today. Jackie Hill Perry, in furthering in her book on the holiness of God, says, "If we have traded God for an idol, we are not left to ourselves, away from his compassion or help." We can trade back. This is called repentance, turning from a dead idol to follow the God who not only has life in himself, but more than enough to share with you. We can trade back. He has more than enough to share with you, church. And God wants to share himself with you today, with us today. And are we living in repentance and belief of the gospel and in the overflow of his gracious light today? And if we aren't in Christ today, the sad and harsh reality is that you are perishing apart from him, apart from the original design. And you either repent of being Lord of your life and submit to him, or you will be eternally separated in the darkness for eternity. And that is not God's design for you as a human. But if you are walking in the light today, Jesus is speaking to as much to Nicodemus as he is to me and you. And he's saying, come back. Bring that to me. Allow me to be the better healer of your brokenness and your darkness than you think you are. And I will bring a flood of light and life and use you as a testimony for my grace and my light through you. Come back. So what is the call for us today as a church? What is the call to action? I want you to reflect on your relationship with darkness. Take some time this week to consider things that draw you away from the light of God's truth and love. What are those patterns? What are those behaviors? What are those thoughts or attitudes that may align more with darkness than the light of Christ? I want us to examine our hearts and be honest with yourself about your relationship with darkness. Are there areas where you've been clinging to sin or your worldly desires? Bring some friends in your community group or your groups together or someone close to you to bring those things to light and pray to God together over those things. Stop waiting. Stop waiting. God wants to free you. And lastly, choose repentance and belief. Embrace the call to repentance and belief in Jesus and recognize that repentance is continual turning away from the darkness and turning towards the light of Christ. Make a conscious decision by his Spirit to turn away from sin and to place your trust in Jesus today. Let us be lovers of the light instead of lovers of the darkness because of what Jesus has done for us and God's great love for us. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much. I thank you for the love you have extended towards us. I thank you that you originally designed us and you set your affections towards us and you created us to enjoy you forever. That's the default, the original design that you've called us to walk in. And that though we sin, though that we've gravitated towards darkness, that we gravitated to the things that we thought would bring us life, God, you still loved us through that. And at just the right time, you sent that which was most precious to you, fully God, fully man, that walked among us, grieved as we grieved, like I mentioned before. And God, you perfectly loved us and took on our sin, the full wrath of God on the cross on your behalf, and you overcame sin, death, and the grave, and you live today, and you invite us to know your light. What a privilege, what an invitation, God. And I ask that we become people who bring things to light, knowing that your grace far outshines the darkness in our hearts, and God, I pray that there's new life here. New life that stops clinging and loving the darkness and submits to you being the greatest Lord of our lives, and that we can be testimonies to the world of your gracious light towards us. God, we need you, and we love you, and we need you to be King of kings in our lives and the Lord of lords, and we thank you for loving us so deeply and intimately, and we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' strong, mighty, and powerful name. Amen. Church, let's stand and sing in response to the good news today.
To the other side. souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit did the flame. Now this gospel truth of all shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the
Psalm 139, 7 through 12 says this. It's a psalm from David. It says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the light of life, and darkness is nothing to him." Church, let us continue to cling and abide in Christ and watch him flood our hearts, the deep recesses of our hearts, with his light, and watch the world around us be and become disciples for the glory of God. We will live out the mission naturally as we bring these dark things to light and repent and move in worship towards him. And that is the good work. Church, it's our heart to always equip you in your next step in your relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have a study Bible or a Bible of any sort, we want to gift this to you and have you walk in the light through his word. And so feel free to go out to guest services as a gift for you to continue your walk in faith. And also, we want to provide an opportunity, like I mentioned at first service, we would love for you to serve with us as it relates to this next generation. We all have an all-church approach to it, not a some church, not just a specific section of people, but all-church approach to the next generation. So there should be a slide for serving that you can text it here after service. We'll leave it up for you. But our heart is that we continue to pour our lives into those in and around us. So church, hey, let's go live a life of worship today. God bless. Take care.